Blog Talk Radio.
Better and better and better, I tell you. Welcome to another edition of Sports Tonight. It's been a rough week down here in Tampa Bay, because everybody knows it, but I'm hanging in there. Brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters of Amber, Pennsylvania. When you're a Princess of Water Heater, log on to bradfordwhite.com. Tampa Bay Golf and Country Gift. Give to Baker call, 352-588-5454. The Abbey Course, right across from St. Louis University. Give Tom a call, 352-588-2060. He liked to welcome Frank Carroll. He does a great job, was our producer. Great job. And our Atlanta legend, Mr. Roger Handler. Roger,
forgot one, Tommy. The late Don.
Philadelphia legend.
Arrived.
He's there.
Oh, Philadelphia legend, Don Henderson. Good evening, gentlemen. Soleil.
I've always been forgotten. It's okay, Tommy.
No, you haven't. Hey, but guys, this wacky station that I told Frank and Roger this, Don, see what you think about this. This idiot got on the air and he said, there should be booing in professional golf.
Well, you get all kinds. Look at the people that now, you know, for years and years and years, you never really screamed at anybody. Now become transparent around golf courses, too. Every tournament now they start screaming, and so I don't know. I can't get too upset. Everybody's got to like what they like and dislike what they don't like.
Because remember,
like
late
somebody Jack, that it's not a golfer to me.
Probably right.
Remember the late Jack Whitaker? He said, and Matt, I remember this is a CBS telecast. He said, "Here comes the mob off the 18th hole." Jack no longer did a Masters tournament.
Well, the interesting thing about golf is, and Bubba Watson last year, you remember the tournament when he got the 18th hole, encouraged the fans to yell out and scream. Become excited and react to what's going on the golf course. And, of course, Pete Dye built the course in Scottsdale, Arizona, with that in mind. That one particular hole of the amphitheater where everybody can't wait to get there, where they, they all scream and yell. And there was a little piece on TV just prior to the PGA tournament. I can't remember who the three golfers were. We're talking. Oh, I know. It wasn't the three golfers. It was Mike Schmidt, Johnny Bench, and I forget who the third was.
Uh-huh.
And they were making a comparison between playing baseball and people yelling and playing golf and people yelling. And I thought Mike Schmidt made a good point. He said, everybody's accustomed in the ballpark. You're not right there next to someone. And the more you yell does not affect baseball at all. But if you're in the middle of a backswing and somebody yells out, he said that's an entirely different situation. So I thought he explained it well, and sure. I think he's right.
Well, Don, you remember in the 60s and 70s, guys, when Arnold Palmer made Arnie's Army up there, the gallery and the people playing with Arnie had to quiet the gallery back in the 60s and 70s when he made the charge up there and that. But, this one guy, I cannot believe it. I'm coming home from work one day. He said, there should be booing in golf. Don, Roger, and Frank, I was going to call this clown up and says, no. They got my gainer. Just have the power of the finger change the radio station on that one there. That was
Tommy. He's got to be from Philly.
No, Roger,
he's got to be from
Roger
Philly.
Roger and I talked a little bit about Roger and I talked a little bit about the golf tournament during the course of the weekend. I thought it was one of the greatest golf tournaments I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would have managed it exactly as they did. I think I would have put a threesome together, or else I would have.
Right.
Used both nines. I would have started one group on the first, and then the leading group. I would have started the leading group on the first, so that they would come around for 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and to 18 at the designated TV time. I would have done it that way, rather than to have him hit up on Mickelson in the 18th hole when he didn't really know what was going on. Not that it cost anybody the tournament. Mickelson was two shots back, and he would have had to hold that chip shot in order to create a playoff. So I don't think it had anything to do with the final, but I would have just done it in a little bit different way. And I said right at the time when they came back on the air, I said they're never going to be able to finish this in time unless they, make some adjustments. And I think they should have. But the tournament, look at the audience, the TV audience they had, 30 million.
Oh, and the Don, Roger, Frank, how about the galleries in Louisville? My God, it was better that tournament than any other stadium course I've seen. It was a great golf event to the end, and wow, it's just like a question for you: is McIlroy better than Nicholas at the same age when Jack was playing at his prime right now? That's the question of the day. Is he better than player right now, or Arnold Palmer or Jack Nicklaus at their prime?
I think you have to wait and see.
I agree. That's almost like you remember, with the Tampa Bay club when Cadillac came up, he had that good first 10 games, and they were already putting him in the Hall of Fame. And what happened after that? I mean, you can't take 1 or 2 years. Actually, 1 year, because the year before, after having a great year as a 22-year-old, as a 23-year-old, as a 24-year-old, he did not do very well. And then he came back, and he had a big article today in the paper how he rededicated himself to practicing and working ever since he ended the relationship and his fiance and canceled the marriage. He solely put his mind on golf, and he played great. But who knows what's going to happen next year or over the – Nicklaus did it for 20 years.
Yep.
Palmer did it for 20 years. Oh. Take your time. Don't be putting him in the Hall of Fame quite yet.
With family commitments and everything else, and with those gentlemen, what I always remember Don saying several years ago when Strasburger came up with the Nationals.
Right.
They're putting this kid in the Hall of Fame, and he hasn't even made one pitch in the major leagues. And then he looks good, and then he had Tommy John surgery, and he's a good pitcher. But I don't think that we'll be seeing him as of now. And of course, it could change. He's young in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I want you guys to stop picking on the Hall of Famers, because I went in the Hall of Fame in 2010, And our first guest went in 2014.
Lawrence Samuel.
Yes, great. Lawrence, good
Lawrence,
evening.
Lawrence, did you play marbles too?
No, no, hey, Lawrence.
Yeah, I did play a little bit of marbles when I was growing up.
Well, to get
we
the Hall
did,
of Fame with Frank, you'd have to play pretty well.
I was a coach very well in the old AFL 2 team in Venice Vikings.
Oh,
wow.
My son and I both were inducted into the Hall of Fame in the same day.
Oh,
there
that's right.
Go.
I remember that now.
There you
we
go.
We got two Hall of Famers guys up there. Lawrence, big game in Cleveland. If the Gladiators win that game, it'd be first time since 64, the city of Cleveland watch a football championship be won in their city.
Right. It's big for the city of Cleveland just to have the Arena Bowl there. It's big for the franchise and it's big for our league. And I'm actually pulling for them. I would love to see them actually, you know, seal the deal and go ahead and win the Arena Bowl. That's who I'm kind of supporting, and that's who I'm pushing for because of the city needs a championship at this point. And what better than coming from the Arena Football League?
And Lawrence, you said last week when you joined us that the coach there has an association with you, so that's another step toward rooting for them to win.
Oh yeah, and the assistant coach Ron Selesky actually coached here with the Storm. So
okay.
you know, with that said, you know, they're good friends of mine, and also on the other side, you know, me and Kevin Guy, we play college football together, so.
Oh wow!
But you know, I think Kevin's won his share, and it's time for Cleveland to actually really get on track and get one. But and also, you know, our last year's coach Dave Urich is in Arizona, so you have to. I'm rooting for Cleveland, but you know what? Either way, I'm supporting both sides.
Well, I got to go for Cleveland, Lawrence. I spent time up there, and I see in the drive, the fumble, the shot, the walk-off by the Marlins, Craig Council's home plate. So I'm hoping that the Gladiators can come on the what they call Quicken Loans Arena up there now. They win a championship for the city, and they'll be dancing in the streets, I think.
Well, more than anything else, Tommy,
yeah.
Root for a good game. Root for a
right.
game that holds a television audience because – that's really where the key is. The commissioner said a couple of weeks ago, and so did Lawrence, you know, that they've had great reaction from the TV coverage they've gotten, and a great game for the championship game would even make it that much better.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with about that, but that's why I'm
you know what, there, fellas? I saw a couple of press releases this week. I think we got one from Ben, and I think also I got one from the Soul that two more players from the AFL have been signed by the NFL. Is that right, Lawrence?
Oh, yeah, that's right. And also, yeah, you probably hadn't heard, but Joe Hill's actually just got signed to the Hamilton Tiger Cats in Canadian football.
Another
wow.
Yeah, yeah, they've had several go to Canada, but I think it's great also that within the States, I think the Cowboys signed one of the
mm-hmm.
guys from the
wow.
AFL.
Yeah. Yeah, they've signed one of the linemen from the Philadelphia Soul team. Also, we had another guy on our team, Gene Fenor, actually got a workout with the Green Bay Packers. So he's
oh,
on
wow.
their emergency list, and we're just praying and hoping for the best for him, and
great.
He can also get a shot.
Oh, that's good for Gene up there. He's always such a nice gentleman. He always kidded me after practice up there. So hopefully we will say a prayer for him to make that. And also Joe Hills. And what can I say about Joe Hills? Lawrence had a heck of a great year for the Storm up. I hope he tears up the numbers for the CFL up there.
Oh, yeah. Joe had a fabulous year. And with that said, he's just being rewarded at this time, just getting another shot. In another league at this time of the year, and it's a good thing that you know, he's already in shape and he can report and go up there and do good things up on and on that side. So I just think I think the world of him. I think he's done. He's just a hard worker. He deserves everything that's coming to him at this point in his career.
You know, Lawrence, I had a chance to work with Joe at over at Palmetto High when I was coaching there with Coach Marino, and he is without a doubt the consummate trainer, consummate fool. I mean, he loves to play. In fact,
right.
I didn't even know him when he came on the field with that red hair, but
that's right.
He does is one guy. As soon as that whistle blows, everything's business, and that's good to see him go.
That's right. You know, he's all business, and you know, we're just for him at this point in his career, and I think that he's going to do good things. You know, they also have another one of our receivers up there from the previous year, Greg Ellison. So. Having a teammate and somebody that can actually show you the ropes and do things up there, I think he'll have a good success.
I think you made a key
song.
Point a second.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
I know,
that was Joe Hill sneaking in to let us know he's here.
Oh, no.
Lawrence, I think you made a key point when you said when he gets up there, he's going to be ready to play, and that's 100% true because he's going to have a little bit of a jump on some of the players. You can talk about the mini camps and all that type of thing you want to, but playing
right.
in real games makes a big difference.
Amen.
Oh, it makes a world of a lot of difference. You know, you're not really going into playing to get in game shape. You're already in game shape, and you can contribute right away.
Right.
And that's one of the benefits of our league playing at the time that it plays. And then now, you know, you just go into another league, and it's still football, guys. And that's one thing that we all have to understand. It's football, and he can go up there and contribute right away. That's a big plus for him.
And the speed, yep. The speed from the Arena League,
yes.
Transitioning to the NFL, it's a lot different because those guys are so used to a fast pace, especially when they have the no huddle now. Man, oh, man, they're ahead of the game.
That's right. I agree with you 100% on that.
The main thing about the Canadian Football League, the 110-yard field, and, you know, you basically have two downs to make a first down up there, and that's why I love the AFL and the CFL compared to the NFL, because both those leagues makes the player think out there.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big field, and it's got a lot more room to make plays. That's the way I look at it. It's got more room to make plays. I think our field, the way it's compact and different things of that nature, kind of helps, you know, helps you be a better player. It helped Kurt Warner out a whole lot, just getting the ball out quick, and turned him into a really good football player in the NFL. So, you know, I think the world of our league, and I think it's a good tool for guys when they move up.
Same thing for Joe Theismann, Lawrence, when he went up there, and they said, you know, he's too small when he came out of Notre Dame and played up there in the Canadian League for a couple of years, and look what it did for him.
And Doug Schutte, Don.
Right.
Yes. Well, here's what I'm going to show my age right now, guys. Joe Kapp, the old Canadian League, the old Minnesota.
Oh,
Viking.
Yeah.
I love it, guys. He used to throw his Mallard ducks.
Well,
that's all
Tommy,
right.
I'll give you another
Super Bowl,
one.
Tommy.
Yeah, he did it. I'll give you another one, too. Warren Moon.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about him.
Yeah,
because I met him at a Magic game one day, and I said, I asked him that question, what do you think about the league comparison? So he was very, very thoughtful and gave me a nice answer about that. But I remember Joe Kapp and Lawrence in the old Minnesota Viking days at Metropolitan Stadium. He's back to pass, and I think it was like a punt for the time that ball came down. I could have shot it in duck season, probably. That's how bad it was.
Well, that was another one of those long shot picks in the Super Bowl because, you know, everybody thought Kansas City was just that much better with the quarterback situation,
right.
And they were going to win it in a walk. and Joe Capp in Minnesota took the title away. So, you know, you never can tell in this game.
Oh,
well, you know, I've always been a Warren Moon fan because I know Don's familiar with it. The late Ken Kerfel, when he was coach at Lawrenceville School,
right.
Used to have a coach's clinic every year, and Dick Vermeil was there, Joe Paterno, and Warren Moon paid his own way and flew up from Houston when he was with the Oilers to come and speak. And then he does the Seahawks games now on the radio.
Right.
And I saw him, I think it was at the Dome a couple of years ago when Seattle played the Falcons. I think that was in the NFC semi. And I was talking to him, and he remembered that, and he talked about it. He remembered that clinic that he came up to.
Oh,
so, I mean, that's a number of years ago. That tells you a lot about the guy paying his own way to come up
wow.
to a coach's clinic.
Well, Roger wow. and Tommy, well, Frank, yeah, most people are not going to remember, but, you know, that number one man at Lawrenceville Prep was a single wing fan. He coached
that's right.
a single wing, and not very many people remember the single
wow.
wing anymore.
Oh,
that's
see
right, and he wrote a couple of books about it, too. And, boy,
oh.
I'll tell you, Don, if he wasn't a gentleman, nobody was.
Oh, he was terrific. He was terrific.
I would sit on the NFL films, and that's a great thing. Thank God for Paul Brown, guys, to get the late Paul Brown to get the offense going that way.
I'll tell you, Lawrence has probably never heard this about Ken Kerfel, but Bill Belichick, Lawrence, when he was in eighth grade, he was at Andover Academy in Massachusetts playing. Now, you got to remember, this
mm-hmm.
is an eighth grader. And they played Lawrenceville School. And he started communicating with Ken Kerfel when he was in eighth grade about football because of Ken running the single wing. And at the Super Bowl, the last time they were in it, I got to speak with Bill because Ken had passed away. And I got to talk to him one-on-one because everybody talks about the way he is with the media. But everybody that knows him, including Thomas Dimitroff, the general manager of the Falcons, will tell you, you get him talking about something else other than football, he'll give you as much time as you want. And I still have it recorded when he talked about his whole life of following and becoming friends with Ken Kerfel. That's an amazing story.
That's awesome.
Just the one in North, Captain Happy?
Yeah, Martin. Captain Happy in eighth grade.
Wow.
Well, you know, one of those things you have to remember, Tom, well, everybody, actually, and that is that there were certain coaches at these schools. This was what they really wanted to do for years and years and years. They weren't looking to move somewhere else. They were staying there with the young men that they were coaching, and he happens to be one. I think he must have been there at least 35 years, Roger.
Oh, he was. You're exactly
wow.
right, Don. He was, yeah.
Wow. Martin,
didn't
that's
you have to... Two young backs go to the NFL early in the season. Then the Smith brothers go.
I think one of them. I think Chris Smith. He went to the Canadian League early on.
Right.
Hmm.
Right.
And when he signed, I mean, he signed early, and then now we have another guy now. Joe's up there,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we're doing some good things. We have some good talent on our team, and people are watching. So,
right.
you know, that's a good for our organization to see guys move up,
sure.
and then we can also recruit. You know, it's a recruiting tool.
Right.
We get guys that, you know, they'll actually come to our team and know people are watching the things that we do, the way we train our guys and get them ready, and we're actually getting them ready to go to the next level. So, that's a plus.
Well, the next step for you is the playoffs next year in 15,
yes.
and that would be a giant step forward and great for the city and great for the team.
Amen.
That's right. We're going to push for that, and we're going to push to get a home playoff game here and just get everything down here again like it used to be.
Yes. Yeah, Lawrence, I have full confidence in you, yourself, Jeff Gooch, Derek Brooks, and everybody connected with the Storm. Next year, 2015, is going to be our year. Tampa Bay Times will be jumping with concerts and everything else for that Reno Bowl weekend. Not Cleveland. Cleveland enjoyed this year. Next year it's coming south to Tampa Bay Times Forum. So all the arena fans out there listening, enjoy your cool weather in Cleveland because next year it's going to be hot and humid here in Tampa Bay.
That's right.
Hot, humid, and rainy, and sticky. So,
Lawrence, what's the schedule like now for you guys, the coaching staff and the players, now that the season's over?
Well, right now it's just me, Derek, Coach Wilson, and Jeff. And now we're getting things in order, and then the staff will come in later on, kind of toward the end of September. So. Right now, the key is to get our foundation, keep our foundation, doesn't move. Try not to lose guys to free agency. And we're evaluating our team. You know, did an extensive report on our team, evaluations and different things of that nature, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and things. Just looking forward to next year. And we started planning. The next week, we're wasting no time. We see some things that we need to actually improve on, and we're going to make those improvements. It's going to be a better product than what you saw this year.
Mm-hmm. Lawrence, when does the free agent period begin?
Actually, it starts, I think, the week after the Arena Bowl. So.
Oh, okay.
I think
it's
a little dead period, and then the league will tell us when free agency starts. And, you know, it's only so many limited free agents, and we have the benefit of keeping most of our guys anyway because we have one of the youngest rosters in the league, mm-hmm. and we have the option to keep our guys, especially the rookies. And then we only have probably about six guys that's actually eligible to go into free agency. So I'm expecting to try to solidify that foundation and get it, you know, evaluate our rookies and exercise the option on keeping those guys. So once we get the foundation of our team solidified, we'll go out and we'll start looking at these NFL rosters when guys get cut. And try to build on that. So that's our plan. And then we also will have tryouts come up and different things like you saw last year. And all that will come into effect. And when we get all that in effect, we'll be ready to build for our championship team in 2015.
Lawrence, what are your limitations in terms of, because of the salary structure of the players? In other words, if you live in Chicago, are you going to pick up a free agent? Can you afford to pick up a free agent, or would they be willing to make that transition from Chicago to Tampa Bay based on the salary structure?
Well, a lot of guys, one of the keys, and that was in my report, is one of our threats is we have to win the state of Florida. You know, we have a lot of competition within the state with the Orlando team and the Jacksonville team. We have to win the state of Florida. And what I mean by that is that we have to be able to research and get the best talent available in the state of Florida to come to the Tampa Bay Storm before they get a look from the other teams up the road. So that's our plan. That's why we started right away. And when we start, you know, when we start that process, then we move forward to going out of the state. And we mainly would start in the southeastern part of the state of the United States. So we'll continue to do that, and you know, and the free agency process, guys. You know, we have guys from California that live in California, and they'll fly in, and you know, and it's an opportunity. And guys are looking at opportunity to play ball. So it depends on the individual at that point.
Okay.
Lawrence, thank you so much for coming on. We'll get you on next week for the wrap up that Arena Bowl. And I gotta say, let's go Cleveland, let's go Gladiators.
All right, I'm with you on that.
Lawrence, are you going to go up? Are you going to go up for the championship game or just watch it on TV?
I'm not sure at this point. I'm going to see what we're going to do in the office. But right now, I'm really not planning on it because, you know, my kids, they're going back to school next week, and school and all that comes first. So.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Football.
Yes. Lawrence, always a pleasure, sir. If I talk to you next week, we'll wrap the AFL championship game up. Always a pleasure to give the girls all our love, my family, and your family all my love also, Lawrence.
All right, guys.
Take care. Thank you very much.
Right. Take care.
All right, no problem, guys. Take care.
Take care, Lawrence.
We have a caller, Mark, wants to say something about the Browns. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime.
I just wanted, my question for you guys was, do you guys like to take it in the ass or orally?
What an idiot.
What do you think?
My mother never had any children that lived.
What, we want to walk our next guest, Frank and Roger and Don?
Yep.
We're as I walk in, the owner of All Sports Arena has got a big event coming up here. It's real quick up here. I'd like to welcome the Matt Gary. Matt, talking to you today. Thank God you're back to health, and tell us about this big event again.
Yeah, it's the World Ball Hockey Tournament coming up. It's coming quick now, Tommy. It's a month away.
Wow.
You know, all these people are booked. They're ready to come to Florida and play some hockey and have a good time out here.
Wow, that's amazing.
How many clubs did you wind up with?
I believe it's 19 teams, about 600 to 700 participants.
Wow.
Ready out. Everything's ready to go. I keep getting a lot of emails. These people are fired up. They can't wait to get here.
Good.
Wow. That's amazing. Matt, for the individual tickets, how much are they going to cost? Are they buy them on?
It's going to be $5 for the day, and we're going to do a special pass for 15 if they want to come all week long.
Wow, you can't
beat that deal.
No, not at all.
You know, Tommy, we spoke about this for weeks, helping me, and you've been working really hard on it. But we're just still looking for those sponsors to help, you know, the cause. Obviously, at the end of the day, when this event's over, all these kids in this town are going to be able to have a new arena.
Yes.
All the work's been done, and you haven't even been there, but we got the stands in now.
Oh, nice.
The bathrooms are now open for the public. We've got an approval, so that's done, and we're ready to go.
Oh, that's
great
the best
job. Great job, man.
Oh. Best news I heard, Matt, in about 5 months right now. That is fantastic up there, and that. So I'm going to work on that.
Like you said, Tommy, the number one thing is that our concern for Matt's health is okay. That's number one, first and foremost.
Yeah, we've been painting the place every day, so new sections. So by the time you guys get here, they're going to see a new arena. And funny thing is, none of them, you know, from out of the country have ever been here before, so they don't even know the difference.
Wow.
Well, as Roger said, though, man, the interesting part about it is your health, because coming up to, you've worked so hard, not only on the arena, but on setting this up, and it would be a shame if you weren't healthy enough to be there when it actually came to a conclusion.
Yeah, that is true. I think rest just took the best of me. I'm trying to figure it all out now.
Well, the main thing is your health is back. You're back to health. It's a month away. You're gonna get this thing off the ground, and after that you're just gonna say, ah, it's over. It's so quick it came.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I definitely will breathe some fresh air when this thing is done. There's no doubt about it.
Matt, you got my email, right?
Yeah, I did. Tonight I'll send you an email back with the packages for the sponsors for anybody. You know, not any of the listeners who are listening, if they're interested, they can contact me anytime with questions, right?
Yeah, I'll get my list to
you
tonight also.
Why don't you give your email address so folks can get in touch with you?
It's mgarry, G-A-R-R-Y, 3@tampabay.rr.com.
There you go.
Perfect, guys.
Well, I'll tell you what, while we're chatting, we'll give people a chance to get a pencil or paper if they like to get in touch with you. Because, you know, when we do it offhanded so quickly like that, most people are listening and talking to one another, and don't have something to jot down. So we'll come back to it again in a minute or two.
That's great.
And just say it slowly again.
Yeah, guys, looking for a blessing. This event could be, you know, could be really huge for us. So we're looking forward to it. Definitely. I can't wait to watch it myself.
There won't be that many Eric Brewers ice the puck, ice the ball now.
You gotta understand that the event with 37 and older men and 35 and older women, this is a contribution to the sport. They've played their entire lives, and this isn't where they're just a wet team coming into an event. They played at tryouts and got picked by their country to play for these teams. So this is a huge deal. It's not just some throw-together thing. I don't think most people understand how big this is, but it is a definite comparison to the Olympics. They try out. They have to make the team. You know, they do fundraising. They do a lot of things to get here.
They're national teams. That's fantastic. And they hosted in your arena, Matt, in the city of Newport Richey. We could be even happier to host this live event here. This is going to be spectacular.
I was talking to Reggie Roberts over at the Falcons Complex last week. And, of course, he used to be the PR VP for the Bucks. And he knew exactly where your arena was. You know, nailed it right down. Because I told him about this tournament. Of course, he knows, you know, Tommy's with the Lightning and big hockey. And so I thought that was interesting, too, that you do have a known venue there, even people that haven't been around for a couple of years.
Well, that's nice to hear. You know, I mean, before I took it over, nobody heard about the place. So that's a good thing to hear.
Mm-hmm. Matt, you worked so hard with this tournament. The building, it says you've worked so hard for this. Now, after this time's over, just got to take it easy. Sigh of relief and a job well done.
Absolutely.
Matt, give that the email address once again now slowly so that anybody that picked up a pen or pencil can jot it down and get in touch with you and see about tickets, see about location, see about anything they need.
You got it. It's M. Gary, G-A-R-R-Y. The number 3 at tampabay.rr.com. And you could also give us a call at 727-845-7808. And we're in Newport Richey. And anybody interested in putting your name on this event, there's many opportunities. I think that you'll know that you're doing a good thing for the community and for the kids.
Great.
And for yourself. For your business.
That's not going to hurt that it's going to be streamed to over 1 million people either, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And the main thing is for the kids of Newport Richey, a great place for them to play. Roger and I did the show up there. It was back in March, and then I was in there a couple weeks ago. Roger, he's done one hell of a job in that building.
I bet.
Oh, my God.
And I'll tell you what, he hit the nail on the head about this competition because we saw just the local teams. You know, where Matt was playing goal for one of the teams. And
right.
Saw the competition, and that's more of a local flavor versus an international flavor that's coming in. And, you know, Frank, what's the number of listeners with us tonight? Because that should really have an effect on the tournament possible sponsorships.
Right now we're at 159 and climbing.
There you go.
1,000 and climbing.
That's fantastic up there in that. But, Matt, you said you're going to have who's going to be master of ceremonies and who's going to be the PA up there? Tell our audience that.
Well, it's supposed to be Paul Porter from the Lightning, obviously. And then they told me that Dave Undertruck's going to be either dropping the puck to start the event or be involved somehow. So hopefully that follows through. And we also have Jason Cullimore involved in the event, which is looking forward to that, having him out there. And I didn't even tell you, over the weekend we had a circus there, and we had an elephant in the building.
Wow.
Oh, no.
9,000-pound elephant got through the double doors. It was
amazing.
Man. Boy, amazing.
Was that number of listeners again? 159,000. Is that what you said, Frank?
159,374 at this point.
Wow.
That's great. And flying.
Yes. Matt, let's hope the elephant didn't do his number in the building.
Yeah, he did one time, but they have a guy with a bucket. So if you ask the guy what he does for a living, he'll tell you he sits with a bucket under an elephant.
He just wanted to see those new bathrooms you put in, Matt.
Tommy just brought up a funny, reminded me of a story. We had a corporate meeting out at the Valley Forge Hilton many years ago, and we're doing spoofs on our district manager, and ours was from Texas. So the assistant came in on our board. But we also had the Philly Fanatic there, and the Philly Fanatic spooked the horse, and the horse went potty in the lobby of the Hilton.
Hey, well, guys, remember the Eagles game 1976 is the bicentennial year. Don, Roger, you're probably coming again. I was in the stands up there. Here it is. Matt, you can picture this bicentennial halftime. There's horses on the field, right? All the drunks in the old veteran stadium out there. So the horses out there did his number. Guy came out to clean it up, got a standing ovation. I'll never forget that to the day I die. All the drunks gave me 60,000 standing ovation. The Eagles lost that game, but the guy did this thing after the horse did, got the biggest ovation at the football game.
Well, Tommy, I don't know if you knew about it down in Tampa. I know Rogers definitely knew about it. It was last weekend. They celebrated the 1960 championship team. Chuck Bednarik was there, and it was really they had a terrific turnout crowd-wise, and it was really something that the 1960 team, a lot of the old players were there, and I say when you see Chuck Bednarik today, a great player at Penn and an all-pro in the National Football League with the Eagles, last player to play both ways, and they really saluted that 1960 team at Franklin Field, the place that they won the championship.
Oh, my God.
I
remember
that was a great gesture by Laurie, and he was walking off. We saw the picture, Don, of him with Chuck and Seth.
Right.
I mean, Chuck's had some tough times now with his walker and getting around, but he's still Concrete Charlie, and he always will be. And as we remember so many, even when we were kids, you know, they'd be practicing at River Field, then they'd come off through Franklin Field, and then they'd walk back to the Eagles office at 30th and Market. Can you picture today's athlete having to walk about 10 blocks to get back?
No.
Well, not only that, as you said, you went over the point. They practiced on the intramural field back in the baseball facility.
Right.
And it was nothing but not a manicured field or anything. It was a field. It was nothing.
It was dirt. I remember that. I mean, that was down by the train tracks, right? Because the trains come in there because it's, and that field was all full of rocks and that.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you what a different era it was. Jim Gallagher was Ed Hogan's assistant in those days, and then he took over. I mean, two gentlemen and my buddy Jim Hensel and I used to go down at 15th and Locust, the old office, and Eddie Hogan would load us up with stuff, Eagles memo pad, media guides. And I want to tell you, we'd go into school the next day that we'd be taking notes on Eagles memo pads. I mean, everybody thought, holy smokes, who do these guys know? You know?
Well, you know, they had such a great PR department for so many years. You just mentioned two of them, and that carried on. Huff, of course, came in, and then he went to the National Football League headquarters that originally wrote for the Bulletin. And, I mean, it was, as you say, a different era. People will never get back to that. They'll never understand what it was really like, you know, back in the 1960s and before.
Absolutely. And I asked Jim Gallagher one time, I said, does Eddie Hogan, and this was years ago, Eddie Hogan come to games? He said, yeah, he's right here. He's over there. I went over. First thing he says when he shakes my hand, where's your buddy?
Oh, my God.
Those were the days. You're exactly right.
Now the PR staff, they get your credential, go upstairs and ignore you. That's what they do.
Well, some do, you know, and there's some that are just great. But the younger people today, they don't know what it was like. I mean,
no.
Let's face it, in those days, back in the late 50s and early 60s, I mean, there were many days Franklin Field wasn't packed.
Right.
You know,
well, you remember, Roger, very well. Franklin Field was a magnificent. Palmer Stadium in Princeton, Franklin Field in Philadelphia, Yale Bowl. They were really the heart and soul of college football in the Northeast. And look at the press box we worked with. I mean, could you imagine trying to put the people today in the press box at Franklin Field?
And with the computers today and needing electric, AC. I mean,
right.
You know, they just didn't have the outlets.
No.
But, you know, it was a special time and, you know, never to be duplicated. We were fortunate. I've said it many times. Thank God that we were young and growing up in that era, because it was a special time and a lot different today.
I remember the old press box at Cleveland Stadium. You'd go up there, take the elevator up there, and it was like almost like the press box is so tight and narrow. It's like going through a cockpit of the airlines or the out airlines. That's how bad
it
was.
Tommy, you had an elevator. You realize how we got to the press box in Franklin Field?
Oh, you had to walk up those stairs.
You walk up those
up
iron steps in the back of the stadium and walk up.
Yeah.
Oh my God! As a fan,
and at the best, they had that one small elevator, the infamous elevator. And Don remembers this because it was one of the classic lines I ever heard at the vet. And Izzy was the operator, and a guy says to him, "Did you learn the route yet?"
Oh, God. Roger and Don.
It can take anywhere from 4.5 minutes to 3 days to get up. Depending on whether it's
unless
stopped.
You get stuck. Like,
yeah,
I got stuck
that
night.
We must have a waterfalls going along here somewhere tonight. I don't know.
Hey, Matt, if you're still there, one more time about the ticket information and your email, please. It'd be wonderful.
If you want to come watch the world event, it's going to be $5 at the door for a day and $15 for the 5 days. And anybody's sponsors, Tommy said that he'll run through the ring in a Speedo with your advertising on.
Well, very, very best of luck, Matt. I know we'll get a chance to talk to you one or two times before this month runs out. But continued success, not only with the facility, but more importantly with the ticket sales, and even more importantly than that, the sponsorship. So I hope it all comes together. You worked awfully hard on it, and you got nothing but encouragement from us.
Yeah, before I go on, I'll tell you what a dream I had. The Tampa Bay Lightning stepped up to the plate and gave Matt Gary a call. I said, "Hey, we're your local team. We're going to support you." And they gave me a check and said, "Have a good day."
I'm still praying for that day, Matt. You know that.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, you have a great night.
You
thank
too,
you,
Matt. Take care. God bless.
Take care.
Take care.
That's Matt Gary from All Sports Arena coming on for his event up there and that. So that's coming up real close, gentlemen. That's going to be a great event to have a world-class event in your own backyard, and which is fantastic up there. Most people are thinking about doing some sponsorship advertising, but they're not sure yet. You got a month away to get this thing going up here and that. So we're hopefully at that juncture get everything going.
Well, Cervelli has just hit one up for the Yankees down in Baltimore. They're up by a score of 1-0 in the early stages. And we'll wait and see what happens there. The Yanks are having a terrible time right now trying to score runs. So we'll see what happens with them.
I'll see them this weekend at Tropicana Field. Oh, boy. How can the Rays, Cesar Ramos, lose that game in the 14th inning, gentlemen? He had 4 straight balls in a walk to win the game. Oh,
I was watching that game, Tommy, last night because I was flipping it back and forth to your buddy Mike Socha's Angels and the Phillies.
Ooh.
And, you know, Williams is ahead 2-1, pitched a pretty decent game, gave up 3 hits in the bottom of the sixth. And Bastardo comes in right away, walks the first batter, and from then it was downhill. They had 6 runs scored against them. That was the game.
Ooh.
Well, I'll tell you, Roger, I can't understand if, almost a week ago when the Yankees were playing up at Fenway Park, and the Red Sox in the first game jumped out 3-0, and they came out to the mound. I forget who the pitcher was now off the top of my head, but he walked definitely the first three guys. He might have walked the first four. And the Yankees went ahead 4-3. The next day in the national TV game, it was on Fox, Red Sox jumped out to a 3-0 lead, and they did the same thing again. I mean, how in the world? You know, I mean, this baseball is you can't fathom what's going on.
No, it's disgusting. No. I don't know if you saw the headline today, guys. I know Frank probably has, and Don, I don't know if you had a chance, Tommy, but the rumor is that there's going to be a blockbuster trade, Cole Hamels to the Red Sox for several players. That's what they're saying.
Well, they've had a lot of information going back and forth on Cole Hamels really over the last 7 days, Roger. They thought they had a trade pretty well worked out a week ago, but it never really materialized. So we'll see what happens.
With something to it this time, Don, because he put his house up for sale. He bought one of those new. You remember where John DuPont had Foxcatcher? That's all gone now, and they're all $1.5 to $4.5 million houses, and he's got one right in the mid range there, and he did put his house up for sale today.
He did. Then he knows something's coming because that's out in Westchester, because he goes into Kathy Baker's cousin's restaurant out there in Westchester. He and his wife regularly.
I think that'd be a great move for Boston because I don't think they were going to bring back the lefty anyway. I think he was going to go elsewhere as a free agent. So the Red Sox get Hamels. They already got a guy with a contract for three more years to go, right?
Right.
Exactly. And Frank, didn't they say in those articles today that any of those top line pitchers are going to demand $150 million for the contract?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And Hamels is what, has $60 million for the next three years?
Yes.
You know, just think over the last few years. I mean, you talked about Strasburg a minute ago, and you know, here's a guy that Boris conned everybody into spending all that money for, and he lasted almost three quarters of 1 year before he went down. Now the New York Mets are supposed to have the best young pitching staff coming up. Harvey's already had surgery yesterday. Who went on yesterday? Another pitcher going. One of their young phenoms went on again yesterday. I mean, anybody that gives these pitchers this kind of money, I mean, I think they're crazy.
Well, look at the Braves early on. What's the kid? Mislin, or you know, he went down with his second Tommy John surgery.
No.
In his career, his second surgery.
Well,
NFL, Roger, I remember you brought up a person near and dear to my heart last week, had gone into the booth. Well, he has now exited the booth and has signed as a backup quarterback at the Dolphins.
Uh-oh.
Mr. Brady Quinn.
Is this during training camp?
No, he's already in there. He's in
camp.
No,
that's what I said. Did he sign up for training camp just to give them an extra quarterback?
No. He signed up for the full 9 yards. And the other rumor around town is Mr. Maurice Stovall, another Notre Dame graduate, has changed his agents and is in contract talks at this point in time with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Ooh, there we go.
Remember one thing, that Brady has to be there more than 4 weeks before, 4 games before he is guaranteed the rest of the contract.
Right.
That's okay. This is his eighth team. That guarantees him a place in history.
Frankie's coming to Tampa
Saturday
night.
That's all we need to know. That's
well, I'll tell you, Frank, you can pick him.
Wagon.
Well, you got an eye for talent. You can pick him.
Sure. In fact, that Golden showed up at camp 26 pounds too heavy, and they've been trying to get the baby fat off him before we start the season.
Wow. Yeah, Frank or Brady Quinn's going
to
be here.
Over at St. Mary's trying to get himself back into school.
Oh. But, you know,
John Bon Jovi's kid's playing at Notre Dame, isn't he?
Right? Yes.
Well, he'll be concert in the hallway.
What's the name?
Well,
the
still no
is.
Decision on that Toronto purchase, whether he's going to be a part of it. Now that he's moved out to the Hamptons and has the big money, why, he says they're not going to move it. He said they're going to keep the Bills. If he's the buyer, he and Donald Trump are going to keep the team. But their offer is going to be contingent upon both of them keeping the team in Buffalo.
Wow. That makes sense.
Trump also has to have his name taken off all the casinos.
Yes, he does.
Oh,
yes, he does.
That's right.
He's suing. He's suing right now, and I think you probably saw it. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and I think I told Roger about it when I was down there, that now four casinos are going to be shut down.
No.
You know, within the next probably a couple, well, two have already been shut down, but Trump Plaza is one of the ones that's going to be shut down.
Yes.
Oh, my God. What happened?
You know,
Trump's
he's been
out of the Taj Mahal for years.
Yeah,
wow.
Well, they got his name up there. Still says Donald Trump's Taj Mahal, but he has nothing to do with it. I mean, he's been out of the corporation for quite some time, and you know now he's suing them after he, you know, he took those stockholders of his into no man's land the last time, and they finally got rid of him. And now he's suing them when he can't use his name anywhere anymore.
Yeah.
But Atlantic City is really suffering right now. And you know, your good friend Tom probably knows a lot more about it than we do, but the Revel is a big story today in the paper. $2.5 billion in the hole right now. And nobody's going to make it. The closing opportunity to bid on the place was yesterday or the day before yesterday. They had no bidders, and they're saying now that they may have somebody in the wings that will buy it after the bankruptcy is completed, and they can buy it for like 30 cents on a dollar.
Wow.
Well, you know, our good friend Russell Peltz has some money there. He had set up a couple fights, one in late September, one in December, and he still has a contract with them, and they're trying now to get the fights reorganized and sent over to Bally's.
Well, as I say, Atlantic City, I was down there this weekend, and they're really, really struggling. It's a shame because, like everything else, if you have one casino and it does well, you get two, it's going to do better. If you get 10, it's going to do better than that. But unfortunately, Atlantic City, as you know, Frank, has always been a four-month town.
Yep.
I mean, it's a... And the casinos, they gave all these privileges to do things, and they were supposed to kick back and take care of the neighborhoods and improve the housing and improve the streets, and they didn't do anything. And
nope.
It's a shame. There's just nothing but vacant lots around there, and now it's really hit home because you can bet anywhere. You can bet at the racetracks. You can bet on the phone. You can bet anywhere, and they're not going to travel to Atlantic City. I mean, let's face it, the whole idea of having the Miss America contest down there the second week of September was to give them an extra month, you know, with tourists coming down. And now it's back to the way it was. It's, you know, you get down for the beach and a little bit of the gambling, but, hey, that's it. They're 4 months and done.
Wow, that's unreal. Remember, you used to go down there, you have dinner at Ed Zaber's restaurant, you went to the Steel Pier, you walked the boardwalk, you had... Remember, Mr. Pina was right across from the steel pit.
Yeah.
Then you walked down to
Knife and Fork was right there. Great restaurant. And
remember that? Yes.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, it just they spent so much money on the boardwalk. They spent they gave so many accommodations to you know, the casinos to do all the things that they're doing, and the other thing they did, they gave them a full accommodation. You can't smoke anywhere in New Jersey. Even you can't go out in front of your building and smoke. In the casinos, you can smoke.
Oh, boy.
Well, the other thing
was
they built a new high school, Don. I guess if there was anything positive was that Atlantic City got a new high school.
Wow.
Well, that's about it. I didn't get
much
more.
That's exactly right.
Well, they got a Crosby put that wing on the hospital, too. They did get the Atlantic City Hospital, got a new wing from Crosby when he owned So we'll see what happens, but they're really struggling right now, and it's not going to get any better. I don't think you have to have a reason to go to a destination now, and
the betting was it. You know, that was the whole thing when they were the first ones to get it, and it was going to be the casino of the East Coast of the, you know, the Las Vegas of the East Coast. And boy, oh boy, they let that thing just go haywire.
Wow.
Well, my dermatologist is from New York, and he and his medical school graduating class, you know, his group, they had their annual reunion. They had it down in Atlantic City, and he said he was in the Taj Mahal. He said, it is a dump. And
I was in there Saturday night, and I'm not going to disagree. It needs, right now, it's like everything else. You have to upgrade. I mean, you have to constantly work on maintaining or improving the facility. And most of these places haven't done that.
Right.
Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome the commissioner of our favorite league, the AFL, Jerry Kurz. Jerry, you're going back to my fair city of Cleveland, Ohio. I know you have good weather and have a good time up there. Welcome to the show, sir.
No, I appreciate it. Excited. It's going to be a great setting. Cleveland has done a masterful job through the playoffs. And we all know first round of playoffs is difficult as all get out to sell because it's such a short time. Put 12,000 people, even with a baseball game next door and Hall of Fame 58 minutes down the road. And then last week, they had an excess of 14,000 people there.
Wow.
They had the Hall of Fame weekend in Canton down the road too, Joey.
No, absolutely. And this weekend there'll be a baseball game and something else going on. But the Gladiator fans have really stepped up, and the Cavalier organization combined with the Gladiator organization have done a really good job. And Arizona, you know, hosted a great game. As we're talking, both games on Sunday were just, you know, arena football, and that's what we want, arena football at its best. And we're really looking forward to a spectacular game on Sunday.
Jerry, I think Saturday, the television 23rd. Exposure has done wonders. You know, I'm all the way up here in New Jersey, and I can't tell you the number of people that have been following the games on television. And as I say, I think you just hit a home run and really got the kind of exposure that people want to see.
No, I appreciate that. And, you know, we've got two great television partners. As I've always said, NFL Network was a great partner for us, but we were limited, you know, just to Friday night and having a game of the week on CBS. And then having a lot of our games this season on ESPN was tremendous. And then being able to present a doubleheader on Sunday, having CBS First out of Cleveland, following up with the ESPN 2 game, I think a lot of our fans were ecstatic to be able to have a day of arena football.
I watched some
back really great games, too. There was just when you thought the one team was pulling away, the other team came back. And it was just some fantastic plays in that whole both games were just tremendous games.
A lot of arena football action. Everything that you want from arena football was present in both those games. We've really had a great playoff run. There really was only one game that was one-sided, and that was in the first round, San Jose and hosting Spokane. Other than that, they've all been good, competitive games down to the end.
Yep. Well, I think one thing that people have gotten to see in watching the games on TV that had never seen it before is the speed of the game. I mean, I think that's been very, very impressive.
No, it has. And you know, these teams have done well throughout the year. And even Portland, who was the lowest seed in the playoffs, they took Arizona down to the wire.
Yes, Jerry, if Cleveland wins, you're going to be a part of history. First time a Cleveland team other than the Cleveland Crunch indoor soccer, Cleveland football team will win a championship. Last time that happened, Ryan and Collins, I wasn't there, but I watched it on TV in 1964. So if the Gladiators win, you'll be a part of Cleveland history.
No, and you know, they, as we've talked about before, they've done a good job of getting the community engaged. They're part of the community. Arizona has always done that. We wanted to do the host city this year. Getting the bye week given to us by ESPN really helped. The buzz is around the city. It gives us a lot of time to beef up what we wanted to do in the city of Cleveland, for them to roll out the red carpet, for the team to get organized, and to sell more tickets. We're looking for a sellout.
Good.
I think one thing, too, that you have to be really complimented for, because cities like Cleveland, Detroit, they need something to, regenerate activity and regenerate the cities. And I think something like this is nothing but a very positive aspect.
No, you're very much correct. And we had a very successful team in Detroit before, and we want to get back to Detroit. Hopefully Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cavaliers, will help us. He's from Detroit and is very involved in helping revitalize Detroit, as is Mike Illich, who was our previous owner in Detroit. But I'd like to get back to Detroit as well. It was a great market for us, and I'd like to have a team there again as soon as we can.
That'd be a great rivalry, Cleveland, Detroit. You get a team in Pittsburgh, then you got the Rust Belt just about covered.
And then we'll go to Cincinnati, which has great.
Right.
I love their setup with all their three sports facilities in a row, the arena, baseball, and football, all in a row down by the water. That's a great city as well.
I'll tell you, I can't believe it. I heard a number the other day when they were talking about, baseball, the rejuvenation of the Tigers, and when they get into the playoffs. That the inner city itself in Detroit is 65% illiterate. It seems unbelievable to me that that's possible.
And that's a disheartening figure, and we all need to do something about that because that's our future. The kids, the young people, we've got to make sure that we're doing everything we can to educate our youth.
Yeah, you know what, Joe, Jerry? We've given and given to Detroit. As long as you have those corrupt politicians, there's no sense. They've got to clean it out, get some kind of administrator in there because they're in bankruptcy. Get a bankruptcy referee or somebody to take it over and get it cleaned out. That's the only way you're going
to
get it.
And hopefully they're on the track to do that because it's a wonderful city, and I want to see it brought back.
Well, the thing is, Jerry, that the city itself, I mean, look at the teams that have been over the years in Detroit that have been so successful. I mean, not only the Detroit Tigers, but, I mean, hockey, basketball. I mean, it's really been a hotbed of sports. And to let this city go down the drain, it just shouldn't happen.
No, it shouldn't happen to any city. You're right. Absolutely. And if we can play a small part in there by bringing them our game,
great.
I'm 100% in favor of that.
Well, Jerry, the same thing Cleveland used to be in the 70s. Cleveland in the 70s had nothing going on. They passed, so they signed, the gateway sin tax. If Cuyahoga County had to pay extra tax on cigarettes and tobacco, and that's why the Gun and the Jake were built. But it's a funny Art Modell story. When Modell used to own the Browns, there was a sports bar in Lorain County called North Bridgeville. It was a sports bar. Now, what the owner did, he used to TV antennas in the old days. He used to point his antenna toward Detroit. We'd bring in the Browns game. So Mr. Modell took him to court, and the bar owner said, "Hey, Art, he can't sue me in that. It's free air up there."
Well, you had the same problem in Tampa. Tommy, they were trying to bring it in from all over the place with aerial. They tried to stop them.
Oh, yeah, but this is a true story because the guy at the sports bar, Channel 13 out of Detroit, the NBC affiliate, always had the Browns on. Then he had because they rabbit antenna. We used to do the same thing back in the 80s, Jerry. Put the rabbit antenna up, point it toward Detroit, bring it back in on the court night to watch the Browns.
They've done a wonderful job of building up the Cleveland.
Oh, yes.
They've got that great entertainment district. And it used to be when I went to law school with one of my best friends that was from Cleveland, and we used to joke and say, Cleveland's not the end of the earth, but you can see it from there. It's not that
anymore.
Well, I'll
tell you, they've got the greatest museum, and they've got one of the greatest hospitals in the world right there.
Cleveland.
I mean, those two things alone are features that make you want to go see something in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. No, and they're wonderful people, great sports town. They really worked hard. That town is night and day different from when I first started going there visiting my friend in the 70s. It is a wonderful town. They've done a lot of work there, built up a lot of attractions. The ballpark is gorgeous. The queue is great as well. I like going around that town, and I'm always pleased to see when something like that is revitalized, and there's great, wonderful neighborhoods around there. So we're going to have a good time. We're going to do a lot of community activities. We're going to do a clinic for kids. We're going to have some functions, for our players, for our owners, for our fans. I'm excited, and really pleased that we have this week in between, because we've talked about it before. A couple years ago, Monday night, Jacksonville won, and they got to go out to Arizona for a Friday night game. It was difficult to do the things we wanted to do for our fans, players, and even the media, but things are falling together this time, and I'm excited about it.
Terrific.
Well, Jerry, when you're up, you have to try some Lake Erie perch when you're up there. The best fish around there that perch is a kill for up there. My family's from the Cleveland area. I used to live in Philadelphia. Every time we went to Cleveland, first thing we stopped, my dad was stop, get some perch. Before we did anything, perch in Cedar Point up there. So
I'm a vet, and I always like going to the VFW Halls, American Legion, on Friday nights,
right,
wherever I travel.
Right.
Oh, there you go.
You got to
try perch. I got it.
The league had a tremendous year this year with moving guys to the NFL and to the CFL. Do you know, can you give our listeners a short rundown of how many guys went and where they went?
I don't have in front of me where they went, but they went all over.
Right.
We've got guys in camp all over. We've had some guys that have got their shot to come back, but we've got a lot of guys under contract in both CFL and the NFL that we'll put out probably this coming week, the full list. But, you know, we've got guys, I think, 50, 60 guys that have had, an opportunity between both those leagues to get an advantage. And not all of our players come to us wanting to go to the NFL or CFL. Not all of our players have the ability to do that. Our main focus is not to move the guys to the NFL or CFL, but make them the best AFL players. However, we're always excited for our players when they get that opportunity. And as I always say, when they get that opportunity, we'll drive them there because we're proud of them.
Great.
Well, I'll tell you, Jerry, there's been press releases almost every day or every other day since probably in the last 3 weeks where guys are going to camp. So congratulations on doing a great job, and as you said, you'll drive these young men to the opportunity they might have.
Well, when we started playing football in Pop Warner, Pee Wee, that was everyone's dream. Everyone's dream to get an opportunity to be an NFL player. And what we can do is help them get to camp. And when they get to camp, it's in their hands, and I know that they get that opportunity, get to camp, and then they'll seize that opportunity and earn that spot.
Well, I know one thing, you're going to make a big impact this week on Cleveland, and that's nothing but positive. I think when you walk away from that, it'll be great to see how the newspapers cover it, how the radio and television covers it, and it should be a giant plus for Cleveland.
No, absolutely, and our broadcast for the Arena Bowl is on ESPN, the main station. And a 3-hour window, because typically we get, for CBS, we have a 3-hour window. For ESPN games that have been during the season, we've had a 2.5-hour window. But with this window for the championship, we've got a 3-hour window so that the full game can get in. And ESPN wants us to be able to have our trophy presentation of the Foster Cup on broadcast television as well. And as you know, with ESPN, it goes all over the world, and it also goes on American Forces Network, so our troops serving probably all around the world can see our game as well.
Terrific. Jerry, our listenership tonight is just surpassed 163,912. And
That's fantastic.
The 8 and 9 hour usually it builds to closer to 190,000, but can you give our listeners another update on the time and day and station that they can find the Arena Bowl on?
I'm always happy to do that. Never can do it enough. It's on Saturday, the 23rd of August, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. How much better can it be than that?
Wow. I can't wait for it, Jerry. I can't wait to see you on the TV handing that championship trophy to that Cleveland team.
it's always amusing. I have a face for radio, but I get to be on TV all the time.
Well, Jerry, we don't want you to hurt the ratings, so, you know.
No, I don't. You know, that's why I'll be on near the end of the game, so we won't lose anybody.
Jerry, I just have to say, you know, following the league for many years.
Adding teams. Are you going to be adding any teams for next year's?
You always ask me that ahead of time, and I try to hold off, and we'll have some things we'll talk about, not talk about. But,
okay.
No, all that stuff, you know, we hold for the Arena Bowl. Come on, there's got to
right.
be some suspense. And
right,
some
right.
reason for people to pay attention to Media Day. If I let it all hang out here, who's going to come to Media Day?
As some guys say, Jerry, all we want is a nugget.
If you want to drop something, I promise you that Tommy will personally pay the airfare for anybody that wants to go to Media Day from Tampa, Philadelphia, or Atlanta.
There's a rumor we might add a team someplace, but you know what rumors are. Everybody's got them like they've got other things.
Yep.
Well,
there's
also
a rumor that Tom has enough money to pay for his own airfare.
You know, there's
also
rumors that I'm going to retire.
Ownership coming into some of the teams, too, which will be announced, too, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we announced a great new ownership group for Orlando, David Siegel, and he's just been tremendous for that market and for the league. He's going to attend his first league meetings, and we're excited about that. We've got some other things. But, you know, rumors are – everybody's got rumors. There's a rumor I'm retiring. I'm not retiring. I've got 3 years left in my contract.
Uh-oh.
I'd like to retire, but my wife won't let me.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, the other thing is, Jerry, you know, you're on a mission to take that league to new heights, and you're well on your way. You don't want to stop now. As that old song was in Philadelphia, what was that, for 6 years? Ain't no stopping us now.
Ain't no stopping us now.
Yeah, there is a big difference since you've become commissioner in the way the league has performed and how it's gotten out into the public. The good things that the not only the owners do, but that the league's done and the teams have done. And I think that's a credit to you and your ability to make these people feel at home. And I mean, it was always good that you could come down to the field and meet the players afterwards. But it seems that since you've been the commissioner, it seems that everything has lightened up a lot, and there is a lot more enthusiasm, not only from the players, but from the fans.
I appreciate that. But, you know, it's a collective effort. I get to be like the lion that roars and gets a lot of the accolades. But we're off the field a team effort. Our owners, our coaches, our staff, and the fans together as well. No person can do this by themselves, and it's not the purview or the responsibility of one person nor the accolades you go to one. It's a collective effort, and I'm pleased that we've got such a great team working together.
You know, Jerry, it all comes from the top, and yourself, I mean, you do such a great job. It all goes from the top, and I know from the work with the Tampa Bay Storm, you know, we try to get the players together on this show, and it all reflects about the commissioner. You do such a great job.
Appreciate that.
You know, Jerry, I just want to follow up real quick with a point that Frank made. I was just looking at the Seoul media guide. I think there's 18 or more full-time employees on that team. And when I was living in the Philadelphia area, I'd be down at the Seoul office. I'm sure Don's been down there, too, when Ron Jaworski, and then there was an attorney. And the team office was in the attorney's office. You know, it had their name on it, and then it had the Seoul logo underneath it. But it was like a part-time guy doing the PR. And there was maybe, a half a dozen people totally involved in that team when it started. Now you look at it, it's a major league team.
No, absolutely. Craig Spencer, one of the primary owners, Ron Jaworski, Cosmo DiMicola, Marty Judge, Pete, and I never get his name right from Chicky and Pete, but I like Pete because Chicky and Pete's is great. They're great hosts for us, all the post-game celebrations
Pete,
for the Solar
Pete
there.
Shirotti. But, Pete Shirotti.
Pete
Shirotti.
See? You're much better at that. I never want to butcher Pete's name, but they do a good job.
We've been around Pete Shirotti for too long a time, Commissioner.
That's right.
We've been there for 108 years.
I've got to tell you, they do a wonderful job, that ownership group, that staff there. They've got John Adams, Tom Goodhines, Goody, who have longtime professionals in the league. They do a great job with their staff, and that's, you know, just a good thing to see, teams making their presence in the community year-round. Right? Talk about it all the time. We can't go into a community, put our field down, hold our hand out, ask for ticket support, corporate support, and roll up our field and leave after 6 months. We have to be year-round entities, and the Soul have done that well, just like the Tampa Bay has and other teams.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the director of ticket sales, Brian Cassidy, and as I recall, I think Don worked with him at the Sixers when Don was doing the radio for the
yep.
Sixers. Wasn't he the PR director, Don?
Yes, he was. He was right there. And you know, one thing about Philadelphia and the PR people, you know, they move around from one team to another, but they stay in the area.
Right.
You're exactly right. Everyone we've known, from Joe Cadillac, we were talking where we spent 10 minutes talking about Hogan and so forth with the Philadelphia Eagles at the start of the program. And they're still there. You know, they're still around. They don't leave.
Well, they love their market. They love their community. And it's just another sign that the Soul really have worked to make themselves part of the community.
Especially in Philadelphia, so many the competition up in Philadelphia up there, the Flyers, Sixers, and Phillies, and you know, of course, the Eagles up there and that. But people love their football in the Northeast, Jerry, so that's a perfect situation in Philadelphia.
I know, and it's a great area. That's the sport complexes, you know, with football, with the arena, baseball there, the Eagles complex right in that same area. They've done a good job building up that area. You know, that's where that sports community's at.
No question about it. And really, the best of luck with the championship game. Let's
Amen.
Hope, number one, it's very, very close and keeps everybody right there till the end, and that'll make it better than ever.
No, I appreciate your guys' support and the opportunity to visit with you and your great listeners, fans, throughout the year. It means a lot to me for your support, guys.
Jerry, I said it before, congratulations on doing a great job. Best days are still ahead.
That's great.
Appreciate it.
Jerry, thanks for your time. Enjoy Cleveland's weather up there. It's hot as heck in Tampa right now. And have some Lake Erie fish for me on Friday night.
You got it. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Oh, my.
Bye.
Well, I'd like to walk over and next get switched to baseball or our baseball insider, Stevie K. Stevie, we just had the commissioner of the AFL, and Cleveland could win a second football championship in history of the city on the next Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm sure that they'll take that pretty serious over there. You know, even though it's a smaller sport as relative to the majors, it's still a big deal. I showed you the video of when the Cleveland Force won that indoor soccer championship, and
that place
was packed. Yeah, that place was packed, and they celebrated hard.
Well, as
Tommy has said over and over again, 1964 is a long time ago, and the people of Cleveland need a little boost. They got a little bit with James coming back, but now if this,
mm-hmm.
If they can win, that'll really help everything in the Cleveland area.
It sure will.
You know, Steve, I just before we get started on the major leagues, I just want to send out congratulations to a little league team from Philadelphia that is on its way to hopefully be playing in Williamsport, and they have a young woman, a young lady on that team that's quite a pitcher and is getting a lot of view. And I don't know if you've heard about her or not, or anything about the little league, but. I've always been a big fan of Little League, and reading about her every day in the Daily News, and I know that Don and Frank have seen it.
Seen it in the papers. It's been on every newscast, and we've seen her on during the course of the ESPN games and the coverage in Philadelphia. She's quite a throws the ball at about 75 miles an hour, which seems unbelievable to me for a young lady 12 years old.
Right, Don?
Yeah, 12 years old,
12 years
throwing a ball 75 miles an hour.
Oh my!
Did you
God.
Have to catch
the,
that game
they
on
the
Saturday?
Up Monday. The bus
what was
left
that,
Monday.
Frank?
I said, did you have to catch the game on Saturday? She pitched against Newark, Delaware.
Yes.
No, I didn't see it.
Had six Ks.
right, you know. The kid, she's as calm and cool as a cucumber.
Yes, indeed.
And she, you know, she can. She not only pitches well, she also fields the ball well.
You know, I felt a little sorry, Frank, and you can certainly attest to this. Newark, which is the home of the University of Delaware, but, you know, not, about 35 miles over the border of Pennsylvania. And
right.
their exposure was less than nothing because, you know, the Philadelphia team never been to the college, to the Little League World Series. And they got all the, there must have been 15 columns about them.
Oh.
Isn't the name of the team, is it the Tannies?
Tannies, yeah.
Tannies, that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, but you know the odd thing about the whole, that girl would not have been able to play, let alone win the game, if it hadn't been for a lawsuit by a guy whose daughter wanted to play for the Newark Delaware team back in the early 80s, a guy by the name of Dallas Green.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
Yes.
Isn't
wow.
that amazing? What
yep.
goes around comes around.
Yeah. I did not
wow.
realize that, Frank, to tell you, you just taught me something right there. I did not realize it was one of Dallas's youngsters that really changed the whole philosophy of the Little League.
Yeah, he went out and I can remember, I used to live next to Larry Shank, and I used to kid Larry about what the hell has he got in his, is he out of his mind? Of course, Larry and his
Hey,
his
talking
usual,
about Larry, Frank, got to send out kudos to Larry for a great alumni weekend. I saw him on TV a lot, you know, in the background. And I want to tell you, and I'm going to send him a note, he did an outstanding job.
Mm-hmm.
They all
yes, did.
Dan Baker was the MC for Charlie Manuel going into the Wall of Fame. But
right.
Larry put it all together. Great job.
Well, that's really the scope of Larry right now. Mm-hmm. After so many years, we had him on after he wrote his book, you remember? And,
right.
He's really sort of a vice president in charge of the alumni game and dinner and so forth and so on. And as you said, not only did he do a great job on the book, he did a great job on the whole alumni weekend.
Mm-hmm. I second that because it's funny. Charlie Manuel, I mean, what a great job he did for the Phillies. And I remember when the Indians let him go, he's up in the Rays press box, guys, who says, Tommy, do you think I ever get on with a team? This is before 2008. He says, Charlie, with your years in baseball, you'll find the right situation and you'll win him a World Series. And he still, Charlie still remembered that 2000. He said, Tommy, you're right about that. It was spring training. But
Stevie, I don't know whether you got to see any of the alumni weekend. I mean, you're down there, but it was special.
I saw
it
on the internet. Oh, my God, it's fantastic.
What do you think? How do you think the Rays are going to wind up?
Well, give me 1 second here, guys. No, I think the Rays are gonna be playing meaningful ball deep into this summer. I said it many times that the Rays competition in this battle for a playoff spot isn't dependent on keeping David Price or trading David Price. To me, I'm very happy with getting Drew Smyly to put right into the rotation right now. And I challenge, you know, the Rays have 26 straight games coming up, and I believe 29 still remaining against AL East teams. And I've always asked people, give me a better starting rotation in the American League East.
Mm-hmm. I got to agree with you about that. You know,
no argument here.
Guys, last night's game is very unfortunate. Four straight balls. It could happen to anybody up there and that. But this got to come out strong. You've got to come out one tonight, one tomorrow night. Then you got the Yankees coming in, the Tigers. And Steve, talk about David Price's return. He should probably be pitching against Rays on Thursday.
Yeah, David Price will be back down here, and I'm sure that's going to be a lot of excitement for him. He's probably pretty fired up on the mound. You know, it's pretty good. There's no animosity. David Price isn't going to hold anything against the Rays, and there wasn't a bad divorce or anything. I'm sure he's going to appreciate his time here, and he's going to have an opportunity to, to come back and, enter this building as a competitor. And, as soon as that first pitch goes off, all he's going to be focused on is retiring each of the batters that he faces during the course of the game.
Well, just to support your position there of a moment ago, and that is, The Yankees take 3 of 4, and actually should have taken 4 of 4 from the Tigers, then turn right around over the weekend and lose 2 of 3 to Cleveland. There just is no dominant team in the American League East.
No, the Orioles are a very, very good team. You know, that's the team that I believe is, you know, I'm a big Buck Showalter fan, and I'm also a big Dan Duquette fan. I think, you know, once they get their hands wrapped around that division, and I don't think it'll be much longer before they take total control of it, it's going to be, you know, my view of the Rays is it's a wild card, you know, and, you know, I'm not sold on the Angels pitching staff carrying them all the way. I think that's going to get tight. I think there's going to be about, in September, I look for about 4 or 5 teams to maintain about a 3-game deficit for both wild cards, 3 or 4 games.
Well, I think one thing you said is true. I think every game, because of the fact that the American League East is so close, that every game coming down the home stretch, the last 10 games of the season, are going to be very, very meaningful. Every team in the American League East, you know, regardless of whether it's the Red Sox or not, Red Sox will beat people just to beat them.
Well, yeah, the Rays, for instance, their last week is a road trip up to Fenway Park for three or four games, and then they leave there and head over to Cleveland. And, you know, looking ahead at the schedule, those 7 games or those 6 games could be really important to the Indians and to the Rays.
Exactly. What question of the day, Steve, and everybody, is Astro making the trip?
I'm sure Astro's still hanging out here, you know. He's probably down here
I'm going to ask David after the media sessions. Is Astro in Detroit? Is he still down here? put a smile on David's face when I say that, right? Because, guys, every time Steve could say, every time we used to go to David Price, oh, how's Bugsy Capone doing? Now, how do you know my dog's not Tommy? You know me. I know your dogs, and I know you. He always would say that.
Fanatic was out in L.A. with your buddy Mike Socia, Tommy.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
On the trip.
He's probably, Mike was probably bringing back so many great memories at the vet. Now get away from me now. But, you know, Steve, I think this is crucial for the Rays to try to win tonight, win that game, you know, try to get the Texas series over with, and then you worry about the Yankees right now. And then you worry about, you know, because I think the couple of times against that Cubs game on Sunday is not a good game, and last night's game, the 14th inning loss, so two blows. Mm-hmm. But I know Joe's going to get these guys coming back and ready for
yeah.
Texas.
Well, you know, when you look at the, you know, if you step out of the box score, you know, Sean Rodriguez just hit a two-run homer, so it kind of leads into what I was going to say. There's two types of bad games. I mean, the game against Cubs, I used to watch a pitcher on the Indians a number of years ago named Paul Byrd. Paul Byrd was a master at playing the elements. He could go into the smallest park around, say Fenway Park, with a stiff wind coming in, and he was going to give you 7 innings of 1 or 2 run ball and just let everybody hit a fly ball into the outfield, and he would just laugh as he did it. And that's what Travis Wood did against the Rays. Now, the Rays had Evan Longoria hit a monster shot that got knocked down, but I've never seen a ball hit harder than what Sean Rodriguez hit with 2 men on that would have, under any circumstances other than that game, would have been a 3-run homer. Mm-hmm. I think Casale might have just connected for a home run as well. Let's see here. That's going to be off the top of the fence. Maybe it's homer, maybe it's not. But last night was just a pathetic offensive display by the Rays. There's no weather to, you know, there was no weather to say, well, you know, there was no wind to make an excuse, and there was nothing to, you know, nothing to play around with. And after the pitcher left the game, they struggled against every pitcher they faced. I didn't get it last night. They just had no offensive cohesion whatsoever. Mm. But going away from the Rays, you guys, this is baseball, the parity in this game is rearing its head again this year, and us as fans are the big recipients. If you're a Phillies fan, I'm sorry. I know you're not involved in the race in the National League this year.
Not this year.
Not this year.
Well, maybe next year.
Right. But when we sit back as baseball fans, you know, and I looked at the schedule this week and I said, my gosh, this entire week there are some great games and you look at the races in each division, I think the Dodgers have a pretty comfortable lead out in the West, but everything else seems just about up for grabs. I mean, the A's
right.
can't sleep on the Angels can't sleep on the wild card, Detroit. You know, they look to have the division wrapped up, and then the Royals win 16 of 20.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Indians won't go away. They're just sitting back, you know, they're sitting back there in the American League. You've got Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Milwaukee, Cincinnati. I mean, the National League is just packed. So we're looking for a really fun night-in, night-out scoreboard watching starting now.
Exactly. What about Dwayne's stats Sunday afternoon? I thought I watched the game, and Don and Roger and Frank and Steve, what he sang that to the ball game, that was fantastic in the seventh inning. I thought I have to see Dwayne did a great job of singing that Sunday afternoon.
That was fantastic. As a Rays fan and as a Rays fan watching that was really heart touching.
I didn't get to see that up in New Jersey. We didn't see that one, but. I'll tell you, your observations are correct. I mean, you look at the different divisions right now and how close everything is. And as you point out, and we talked earlier, you know, that last week, last 10 days of the season is going to be, I mean, you could go from first to third in one night.
It's crazy. It's going to be fun. You know, last year, we want to look at teams that are on the outside looking in. You want to take a team like the Rays that are six games back and say, okay, well, they have X amount of teams in front of them or they have to play to this record, and it's going to be really difficult. And then we can go back, and you guys can help me out here. Was it the Mets that collapsed in 2007? I think the Phillies may have caught them.
Yes, that was the Mets, yes.
We got a better one than that, the 64 Phillies.
Well, yeah.
Oh, boy.
They're the all-timers.
I have a book on my Amazon book list about that entire collapse that I'm reading this winter coming up because I'm a huge Gene Mauch guy, and it's hard to find any books about Gene Mauch that have a positive light because everything's a disaster. 80, you know, hey, here's a great Gene Mauch book. It's about the 86 Angels. Oh, boy, here we go, you know. Here's another one. It's about the 64 Phillies. But, no, so we look at the we look at that Phillies and Mets, how that season ended. And then you go to the miracle that the Rays did in that 2011 season in September, and you realize they're not the only team that did that. The St. Louis Cardinals did pretty much the same thing in the National League. And then last year, the Cleveland Indians went 21-6 in September.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right.
So, no matter how we want to cut, splice, and dice this, if you can get to September 1st, four or five games out, no matter what people say about what your odds are or anything like that, you've got a puncher's chance, so to speak, and that's an incredible thing that baseball's set up for themselves.
Well, I'm with you 100% on Buck Showalter because, first of all, he did it with the Yankees and Gene Michael and did a terrific job of building that franchise when George Steinbrenner was on the shelf because of the difficulty he was banned from baseball, and he couldn't mm-hmm. take those minor leaguers and give them away. But I'm not with you on Gene. I'm not with you on Gene Mauch. Gene Mauch was a very, very good technician. I mean, he knew every rule.
I consider him the best. By the way, him and Earl Weaver, I do consider the best. I just wish somebody would write a book.
Is that right?
I love him. Yeah, Gene Mauch is one of the few guys I think, and I meant to bring this up to Joe Maddon at one point. I believe he's one of the only like five managers that lost 1,000 games with two teams. That's not easy.
No, it's not. I'll tell you one. You want to know about Gene Mauch? Read a book on that 64 team. But more importantly, Charlie Dressen was the manager of the Detroit Tigers, and the first thing he said to Gene Mauch was, "Don't pitch Jim Bunning on 4 days rest."
Oh my gosh!
Never pitch Jim Bunning on 4 days rest. And
fellas. We've had Art Mahaffey on. You know what he had to say about Gene Mauch? I need to get Stevie's email address, and I'll send along Art's contact information. And I'll tell you what, Steve, you'll have a great conversation about Gene Mauch.
I'm a big fan of managers. You know, Brandon Guyer just hit a two-run homer, Razor on 5-0.
I'm a big fan of baseball, but I'm not a big fan of Gene Mauch. Not because he lost in 64. That's not the reason. Or that he lost with the Angels out there when Henderson hit the home run. I'm not, I'm not looking at specific games, but I look at, for instance, I look at what Joe Girardi's doing this year.
Oh,
and if you talk about a guy that should be not, maybe he won't be the manager of the year because he, you know, everyone will vote for him probably, but the guy's doing, I mean, it's a miracle what he's doing with that Yankee team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you got to give Brian Cashman a lot of credit for cobbling together the veteran talent that he's brought in there.
Yes, he is. Yeah, I'll go along with that 100%. I mean, Headley, I mean, you can't imagine what kind of a player this guy's been for the Yankees. I mean, he's the closest thing to Brooks Robinson at third base. I mean, he's made plays nobody makes.
Yeah, wow. A friend of mine said, well, you know, we were talking, and he said, oh, the Yankees got Chase Headley, man. He's doing horrible with the bat. I said, well, you know, if you watch Rays baseball, you know that the number one thing is run prevention. Pitchers need to keep the ball in the park, throw strikeouts mm-hmm. and ground balls, and let your defense turn, you know, balls in play into out. It's how baseball is these days. Balls into play need to go into outs.
Right.
Now, when you throw Kelly Johnson or Solarte over at third base with Derek Jeter next to him at short, it's not the same as putting Chase Headley over at third base.
No,
that guy
no.
is a demon with the glove.
What versatility has going both ways. And the other thing is, you know, when Teixeira goes down, here's a guy who walks over, plays first base, never played first base in his life. And, he gives you a versatility you just don't get.
Yeah,
it's like Ben Zobrist of the Rays. I mean, they're going to play position Ben plays all this. So short field or outfield or shortstop, second base, and that's what baseball today is missing, the versatility of the utility ball player.
And picking up Steve and Drew over at to play second base, now his days to me, I don't find him a very good shortstop. I think the Yankees would be making a huge mistake to sign him to a contract to play shortstop for them next year.
He's already got 2 years. He's got another year on his present contract.
No, he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Is he? Oh, I thought he had one more year.
No, he signed. He held out all the way to almost the All-Star break, and he signed a one-year prorated deal.
Oh, okay.
So he's a free agent, but if the Yankees want to sign him to play second base, that would really – I would bring Chase Headley and Drew back at shortstop and second base, and I would do anything I could to try to get Didi Gregorius away from the Arizona Diamondbacks to replace Jeter, but I'm getting off the subject a little bit. But, yeah, the job that managers do in holding a ball club together on a day-in, day-out basis and working the roster and knowing how to knowing when to send someone down and how to bench someone and how to put, you know, it's all the underrated stuff, and Joe Girardi has always been one of my favorites.
Well, I'll tell you, see,
you guys
– he is terrific, and you know, the other thing about Joe is that, I mean, you see him on the post-game shows, you see him on the pre-game shows. I mean, you know, he never gets high, he never gets low, he never criticizes players. He, you know, somebody can pitch a game, Cabrera can pitch a game and give up four runs, and he'll say, well, you know, his curveball wasn't working earlier, his split didn't do this and that. But, I mean, he keeps everybody in the game. He never, ever, you know, gets somebody that and makes the – I mean, you talk about a bullpen. I mean, they got the best bullpen in baseball. And
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, Duquette and Buck Showalter, when they picked up Miller, I mean, that made their club 20% better.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a nice little thing there. Now, a couple real quick little quick notes.
Sorry about
Hello.
That.
Hello. Wow.
What was that?
That's Jeff.
Yes.
For Jeff Neubauer.
Hey.
Hey, there he is.
Guys, how are you?
Good, Mr. Tasty Cake, man, Jeff. Welcome to the show. I mean, Frank got great intro music for you up there. Talking another Cleveland there, Jeff, Stevie K, your baseball insider, of course, Don and Frank. Welcome aboard, sir.
Good to see you guys or talk to you guys again. It's been a while.
It's been too much.
Hey, Stevie K. I know you guys called earlier. I'm sorry. I had a last-minute golf thing, and I couldn't resist.
Oh.
So,
how's your shoot? Let me see. Let me see. 68 today?
73.
Oh, no.
73. So.
Going up for the Arena Bowl game?
I may do that. I'm not sure.
It's in Cleveland.
Just had the commissioner on, and I know you're a Clevelandite. Everything goes on in Cleveland. You're right there, so.
Oh, yes, I'm a big Cleveland supporter, so I'm obviously happy that LeBron has come back, and hopefully we'll win a championship before I die. So,
oh, I know. Well, Jeff, we had the drive, and Steve Kevin, the drive, the fumble, the shot, and Charles Nagy. I'm like, so hopefully, when Arena Bowl, I was talking to Commissioner Jerry Kuntz, I said, hopefully Cleveland will win a championship at home first time since the Cleveland Crunch won football-wise in 64, Ryan Collins. Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully. So,
question of the day, what do you think of LeBron James coming back home?
What do I think? Oh, I'm
yes.
ecstatic. It's to be a Cleveland fan, I don't know how you can't be. So, good stuff's going on in Cleveland right now. So, hopefully we can pull out a championship next year. So,
Jeff, how are Tasty Cake sales?
Tasty Cake sales are through the roof. We are, it's funny, our Florida market out of Bradenton, actually, Bradenton market, it's, we are the second largest Tasty Cake sales in the country, only behind the shipyard in Philly.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
And 3 years ago, I'd never heard of it.
That's right.
That's what you're right. You joined us the first couple of times on the show. When you said that in the beginning, when you first joined the show, you talked about you weren't even aware of Tasty Cake when you first got involved.
No, I wasn't aware. And, you know, I can't remember who told me about Wawa. I'd never heard of Wawa.
Well,
you look at Wawa and you look at Tasty Cake, and it's like I'm in Philly, you know. So Wawa is just taking over down here.
Hey, just send Roger 10% commission.
Right. Yeah, it was Roger.
I'll tell you a funny story, Jeff. There's a Shell convenience store that I happen to know the owners near my house, and he has the Tasty Cake family packs, the donut, the mini donuts, the chocolate, the powdered. And I said, Kareem, how come you don't have the individual? He said, what are you talking about? I said, the crimpets, the chocolate. He says, my sales rep never talked to me about them. So he was going to get all over this guy. You go into Love's, that's where I go in when I'm traveling, and I pick up the individual packs and bring them home.
Oh, yeah. Where is this guy located that you talked to?
Lowry Branch, Georgia.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just a little bit further north than St. Petersburg. Don't worry about it.
75
well,
north, right?
I mean,
you teach you the
lunch. Is in Thomasville, so
don't say
to
too much,
that.
Or Frank will put that music back on again.
Yeah, I was wondering. That's why I disconnected my phone. I couldn't figure out what was going on.
Now, that was from came from the board. It was an automatic. I don't know how that kicked in.
Oh, okay. I'm glad my phone's okay.
Yeah.
My
yeah,
poor ear, I thought we lost.
Not as good as the one you gave Tommy, but it's working.
Oh, no. There you go, Jeff. The running joke was I got to get this phone fixed each week. I'm trying to get it done.
Yeah, Frank was to put me on, and I'm hearing all this music and this noise. I'm like, you put me on the wrong show. I mean, what is this?
So anyway. So everybody been good?
Doing
yes,
great.
Terrific.
Doing great. I have my Tasty Cake and coffee. I go to Wawa, get my Wawa coffee and your Tasty Cake. I think I gained 5 pounds this week.
I'm very careful about how many Tasty Takes I eat. I have three warehouses full of it, and I got to be careful.
I've
definitely put on 2 pounds since we bought them.
Talking about Wawa, did you go over to Orlando at all?
Yeah.
I heard that they have a location over there that's been open, what, a year and a half? They've already had to knock it down and build a bigger place.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that I haven't heard. Is it the SeaWorld one?
I don't know. When I was traveling, what was it, I guess 2 months ago, I was driving up through Virginia and going up north, and I was at a Wawa in northern Virginia, between Richmond and Washington. And the young lady was from down in Orlando, and she was telling me all about it. She worked for Wawa, you know, she was an employee. So I thought maybe you would know about it. But it just shows you how Wawa has taken over. They're going to go into Miami. I guess they're going into, Tallahassee and Jacksonville, too.
It seems like they're opening up a store about every third week in Florida.
Wow.
I mean, I had one, and I think and this is basically the West Coast. And I think when the one opened up about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I think I have about 15 stores now. So that's just in the Tampa market. So, and I think they have planned for another 10 more opening up this year. So they're really.
I was going to say, that's quite an expansion program right there.
That sure is.
Oh, definitely. But you know, Jeff and guys, of all the places Wawa first opened up in Newport Richey, Florida, not one but three.
They opened up three of them, within a month.
Right. You know, I just go down and bang the street, get the one. On the way home last night, I was out doing some shopping. I said, well, my gas tank is low. And I said, I want to go fill up a Wawa, get a Tasty Cake and a soft pretzel for my snack.
Tommy, they ought to be good sponsors for your Port Richey.
I've been gaining so much weight eating the Tasty Cakes, Jeff, and the sticky rolls, and oh my God, for my coffee, I got to stop doing that now.
Tommy, we don't have half the items available to us yet. So just think when everything else becomes available to us. Because really, we've got five pies available, and there's 30 pies. And so anyway.
But, hey, Jeff, why'd they change the pies from the old pie to the one now that's coated, sugar-coated?
Well, we have two.
Yeah,
we have a baked
pie,
and we have a glazed. But, yeah, a fried pie and a baked pie. So
yeah.
We merchandise them both. The fried pie is actually starting to outsell the baked pie, which is a shocker.
Well, that's more in the South. You know, in Georgia, that's about all you can get are the fried pies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. I know in Wawa we have both of them, and pretty much in every convenience store we've got both of them. But the sales definitely have grown more on the fried pies in the last 6 months. So. Anyway,
it's been a great acquisition for Flowers Baking, Jeff.
It's been a fantastic, acquisition. So our distributors are happy because, you know, we had another line of cake that we didn't really do too well. And so our guys were pretty much just bread men, and now they're turning into cake guys. So anyway, it's going very, very well for us, which is great.
Well, a couple of baseball updates here. The Yankees are up 2-1 in the sixth, and the Mets are down 2-1 to Washington. And the Phils don't play till later tonight. Roger, are they on MLB tonight, or are they no?
No, I think they're just on Comcast 10 o'clock against the Yankees.
I can't get that.
I can't get it. I wish I could. Gentlemen, Frank says tick-tick-tock. Tick-tick-tock. I'd like to thank you for coming on, Jeff. We just get you on every week when you get a chance. Too bad about that 73. Should have been under par.
I don't know what he got on the back nine.
No. I play with Jeff. He hits the ball like 1,000 miles beyond mine, and I'm like 20 yards, probably dribbled off the tee, probably. But, Jeff, thank you for coming on, sir. Roger and Frank, Roger and Don, thank you for coming on. God bless. Thank you for coming on, guys.
God bless you. Have a great week. And Frank, as usual, the master.
Yes.
All right, Tommy, and all I'm hearing is good things about you right now, so all the best in that endeavor, and we'll talk again next week.
Yes, thank you, Don, and I'd like to thank probably Lawrence Samus, head coach of the Tampa Bay Storm, Matt Gary, proprietor of All Sports Arena, Newport Richie. I'd like to thank Jerry Kuntz for coming on, the commissioner of the AFL, hosting that big game in my old city, Cleveland, Ohio. I hope he has the perch up there,
yep.
Which I'm sure he will. I'd like to thank Jeff Niedermeyer from Flower Bakery for coming on. He'll be coming on for his football picks. Stevie Kerr, Baseball Insider, most important, Bradford White Water Heaters of Amber, Pennsylvania. When you want to purchase any water, log on to bradfordwhite.com. Tampa Bay Golf and Country, give Tim Baker a call, 352-588-5454. The Abbey Course, right across the street from St. Louis University. Give Tom a call, 352-588-2016. Frank, God bless you. Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
I'll keep in touch with you if everything else is going on.
Sure.
And great job as always, Frank. God bless. And give the kids a big hug from me.
Yes, sir. We will. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation. The men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women police and fire services. When you're out there and you see someone in a uniform, you have a child with you, or you're just walking by yourself, please just stop and say thank you. It means the world of good to everybody out there. These programs are also dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Kolkaff, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Bell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogan, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township, PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Officer Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida PD, Florida Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds always be at your back. May the rains fall softly on your field and the sun shine softly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. Good night.
Shem alech ma yilama, shem ma hezah yilama, son ashen evorat fed, hakuig again ma yilama. Yeah. away and proudly toast his noble fame. Who stare at hand with mind aflame, saw Esham strength and length of days.
County dispatched in 1999. County dispatched to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has now responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul. Thank you.